Acts 13 to a passage of Scripture here that we started to cover last Sunday night, and I want to finish this up tonight, hopefully, and get through this. In Acts 13, Paul is preaching his first recorded sermon, and he's in Antioch of Pisidia, And Paul's sermon is recorded beginning in verse 16. It says, "Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, 'Men of Israel, ye that fear God, give audience. Listen up.'" And boy, he proceeds to preach to them. And of course, he ends up preaching Christ to them. Look down at verse 38. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Christ, is preached unto you, the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things." And then it says, "from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now, if you look up at verse 39 again, look at it again. It says, "and by him," that's by Christ. And then what's that next word? All. All that believe are justified from all things. So through this man, through Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And then it says, by him all that believe are justified from all things. How do I get justified according to that verse? Right. It says, look at it again. Let's look again. Verse 39. It says, by him, and there's a key word here, all that what? Believe. So if I want to be justified before God, what do I have to do? Believe on Christ. That's right, I got to believe on Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 42, it says, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." They liked it. They're like, wow, this is good stuff. And we want to hear this again. And so they're excited. And so these Gentiles are seekers. They're seeking the truth of God. And they want to hear it. Now, verse 48, many of the seekers become believers. Look at verse 48. It says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad." Well, when they heard what? Well, let's go back and look. Look at verse 46 and let's see what they heard. It says in verse 46, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you,'" talking to the Jews, "'but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles.'" Now, verse 48 says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord." So many of these Gentiles, they heard what Paul said, they're glad, they're excited, they glorify the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They heard it, they received it, they believed it. Now, the last part of that verse there, "as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." There are people who will teach, they'll say, "see there, there's this eternal decree, there's this choosing or this election by God before the foundation of the world of certain people." And they'll say that there were certain individuals here in Antioch that believed on Christ because they were chosen. It was this something that God elected. He elected them. He chose them back here before time. And that's why they believed. And they'll say that they're the ones that did not believe because they could not believe because they were not elected. They were not chosen by God before the world. And they'll go to a verse like that to try to twist you up. Because, by the way, just there's something within a Christian who knows the Bible at all that when I say that back before time before the earth and everything, that God chose certain people out there in the future to be saved, and then he chose before the foundation of the world to damn certain people, and that people that some people are created to be objects of his grace, other people he created and let be born so that he could glorify himself by damning them forever. Does that sound right to you? I mean, right away, that just that doesn't sound like the character of my God, does it? And it just doesn't sound like God at all. So right away, you know that's just not right. You know, so they'll go though to a verse like this to say, "See there, as many as were ordained to eternal life believe." And of course, they'll read into the verse that before the foundation of the world, God chose certain people, and that's why they believe. And of course, that's not what the verse says, but that's what they'll say. The Bible, use the word ordained there. As many as were ordained. Well, as I told you, the Greek word for ordained is translated many different ways in the New Testament. It's that particular Greek word for ordained is used 8 times, we learn, in the New Testament. None of those references carry the meaning of an eternal, non-changing decree from God. None of those references, if you study them out. The word ordained there simply means, carries the idea of assigning or disposing to a certain lot or position. There's a verse, well, just look real quick, Acts 15. If you just flip over there, I don't even have to turn my Bible. Acts 15, verse 2. We'll give you another example of that same Greek word. Verse 2, Acts 15, 2. "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them," with the Judaizers, who were teaching you had to keep the law to be saved. So Paul and Barnabas kind of got an argument with them. It says, "They determined," that is the church at Antioch determined, that's the same word as ordained there, "they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other men should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." And that's the same Greek word. The idea is that Paul and Barnabas and certain men were disposed to a certain position. And that is, they were disposed to go and to represent the church at Antioch on this matter and to settle that matter. And that's the same word that's used in Acts 13:48, same Greek word. So the question is this: who are the ones that are appointed or disposed or inclined to eternal life in Acts 13:48. Well, look at verse 48 again. Which ones were disposed to eternal life? Well, verse 48 says, "And when the Gentiles," number one, they what? They heard the Word of God. Number two, they were what? They were glad when they heard the Word of God. And number three, they what? They glorified the Word of God when they heard it. Are y'all with me tonight? So these people are seeking the truth of God. Remember, they wanted to hear more. Then when they heard it, they glorified it. They were glad. They rendered it glorious. They magnified the Word of God. See? They're like, man, when Paul gave them the Word of God and told them about this, they're like, man, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. They're like, man, that's great. These are the ones disposed to eternal life. The context in Acts, by the way, I told you, verse 48, there's 47 verses before that. There is a context for verse 48. It didn't just float down out of heaven in a vacuum. It's got a context. See? And the context is this. Some of the people in Antioch wanted nothing to do with the Word of God. The Jews rejected God's word, and that's why they didn't get eternal life, had nothing to do with an eternal decree. Look at verse 46 again. What does the verse say? It says, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the," say it with me, "that the" what? "Word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you." And notice he says, "and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life." The reason why they weren't ordained or disposed to eternal life is because eternal life was offered, but it was rejected. They turned it down, the Bible says, back in verse 45, due to envy, pride. They were not disposed or ordained or appointed to eternal life. Why? Because of their rejection of God's truth. They judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. How? By rejecting His Word. It's interesting how the Bible words that right there. It's setting them in contrast to the group in verse 48 that heard the Word and was glad and glorified it. So you got one group over here, the Jews, due to pride and envy, they reject it. They judge themselves unworthy. You got another group over here that's glad when they hear it, and they want it. They receive it. Psalm 119, 155 says, "Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes." Salvation is far from this group, he said. Why? Some eternal decree back here? No. The reason why salvation is far from them is, he says, they refuse to seek God's Word. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Think with me. Did he know that there would come a time in history, Acts 13, in which God would turn from His national plans for the nation of Israel, and despite their rejection of Christ, He would form a new group, a new organism called the church, the body of Christ? Did God know that before Acts 13, that God was going to form a new organism called the church, the body of Christ? He knew that. Yeah, absolutely. He had a plan. In fact, if you bring up the chart that I've got here up on the screen, if we could bring that up. Don't have it? Brian? Is okay, can you find it for me and try to get it? All right. So, forget the chart, everybody. All right, forget the chart. We won't use the chart. But it just it helps sometimes to see it, all right? But we'll try to get it here in a minute. But God, you see, God knew. It was in the mind of God. He knew that there would come. There it is. All right. You see the parentheses right here, right? You see this parentheses. Now Israel is in a fallen state going all the way back to the Old Testament. They just further their guilt by crucifying Christ. They further their guilt by killing and persecuting the apostles. So they're in this fallen state down here. Now, the kingdom's supposed to come on earth through Israel. Salvation's going to come through Israel. But despite their fall, despite their rejection, and they judge themselves unworthy of everlasting life, they don't want anything to do with the gospel God's given. Despite that, see, God is going to offer a grace period, and He's going to form a new organism, not Israel, but the body of Christ. And did God know He was going to do this parentheses before Acts 13? Yeah, in fact, He knew it back before the foundation of the world. God knew He was going to form this organism called the church, the body of Christ. God knew that He was going to make a universal offer to every person in the world to be a part of that body right there based on the cross work of His Son. God's plan was that every person in this time period right here, and we don't know how long it's going to go, but God's plan was that every person that believed the truth of His Son, that believed that His Son died for their sins, was buried, rose again, they put their faith, they put their trust in what He did for them on the cross. God's plan was that every person that believed that truth that Paul preached here, that they would then be taken and placed in His Son. They would be placed in Him in Christ. Therefore, they would be chosen by God and they would be given an exalted position in Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. All the people that are in Him, that are in Christ, would be chosen, seated by God up here in the heavenlies for the ages to come. God knew the plan. God had the blueprint set before the foundation of the world. God knew that He was going to offer this grace period and form this new organism called the church, the body of Christ. And He knew that everyone on the earth would be invited to be a part of that plan. God had the plan. He knew that He would invite everyone to be a part of that plan. And that's why it's so important that we get the message of Christ out. Go with me to Ephesians. Keep your bookmarker here. And go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Another passage that, again, is taken out of context so often. And things are read into this that just simply aren't there. Look at Ephesians 1. And let's begin reading in verse 3. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. He's writing to the body of Christ now, right? Believers. These are people who are in Christ Jesus. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And how did he do it? What's the last two words? In Christ, right? All right. According as he, God, hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be. So here's the position we're going to get if we're in Christ. We're going to be holy. We're going to be without blame before him in love. It's already been predestinated, already predetermined in the mind of God. We're going to receive the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Man, let me tell you something. When you're in Christ, buddy, that's quite a position, isn't it? Amen? That's quite a position. He's telling you, way back here, God said, everyone that's in him, in my son, this is what I'm going to do for him. Everyone that's in him, he didn't just say there. You notice that Paul didn't say, according as he hath chosen me before the foundation of the world. No. Then you definitely would have something there. You know, if you're disposed to that kind of theology we talked about earlier. That's not what the verse says. The verse says that he chose us. He's speaking of the corporate body. He chose the corporate body of Christ, but the choosing is in him. The choosing is in Christ. In other words, there is no way that you are going to be chosen by God other than to be in Christ, and that was determined before the foundation of the world. That the only way to be chosen by God, the only way to get that position in the heavenlies, the only way to be adopted into his family is you've got to be in Christ. There is no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to God except by Jesus Christ. That was decided before the foundation of the world. That was the plan. That was the blueprint. God said, that's what I'm going to do. It's all going to be based on who's in him. Look at Ephesians 3:11. Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed, notice, say the last phrase with me, now, let's look at it again, Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed, say it with me, in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God had the blueprint. God had the plan all along. And that is anyone chosen, anyone adopted, anybody that's going to be in his family has got to be in him. He chose, as Paul said, he's writing to people who are already saved. See, and he's saying, hey, this choosing, it happened in him. God decided way back before the foundation of the world, anybody chosen is going to have to be in him. The choosing will be based upon who's in Christ. The only way to get in on this right here is you've got to be in Christ. There's just no other way. Religion isn't going to do it. Church membership isn't going to do it. Being baptized isn't going to do it. Being a good old Joe isn't going to do it. Being good to your neighbor isn't going to do it. You know, being trying to keep the golden rule, being better than your neighbor, isn't going to do it. The choosing, God said, before the foundation of the world is going to be in him. You got to be in him. Now, I want to give an illustration of this that will really, I think, tie this together for you in your mind. You look at this beautiful building right here that we've worshipped in now since 94. And this building was built in 93, finished up. We occupied it at the beginning of 1994. So how long is that? 16 years? 17? 18? Y'all make up your mind, all right? All right, 18 years, let's say. Let's estimate. 18 years. Question. Think with me. Put on your thinking cap now. Listen. Was there a plan and a blueprint for this church building? Yeah, they didn't just get out here, start throwing up blocks, start throwing up wood, did they? There was a plan and a blueprint for this building. Absolutely. Let me ask you this. Was there a plan and a purpose for what this building would be used for? Absolutely. Absolutely. It was going to be used for to have worship services, for the saints to gather, to worship God, to hear the Word of God. All that was purposed and planned in 1993, and that part of the blueprint was that this was going to be used for the worship of God. Okay, but in the blueprint, in those blueprints for this building, was it planned and was it decided who would occupy this building to worship God in each service for the next 18 years? Was that planned and decided who would be here tonight in the blueprints of this building? No, that has to do with people's will, free will, and their choice. Amen? You're here tonight, see, and it was in the blueprint, see, and it was in the plans that on July, what is today, July 11th? 11th, 2012, Wednesday night, we're going to worship God here in this building and we're going to learn the Word of God. But was it in the blueprints which individuals would be here tonight? No. There was a plan. There was a blueprint. And then anyone in the community can come and be here tonight, right? In the same way, God had a plan and He had a blueprint for an organism that He was going to form called the church, the body of Christ. In fact, it's likened to a building. So it's really a good illustration because look over at Ephesians 2. I'll show you. Go back to Ephesians 2 and look down there at verse, let's see, verse 13, Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, remember the choosing's in Christ, that now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then he says, verse 19, now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Notice they weren't in Christ before the foundation of the world. They were strangers. They were foreigners. The Bible says they were, verse 12, without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, had no hope, and he said, you were without God in the world. So they were not in Christ before the foundation of the world. What happened before the foundation of the world is God said, everyone that I choose is going to be in Him. It's going to be in Christ. There's no other way to choose other than you got to be in Him. The choice before the foundation of the world was God said, I'm going to choose everybody in Him. And that was decided before the foundation of the world. These people weren't, though, in Christ back there. Notice that they got in Christ because Paul went to Ephesus, he gave them the Word of God, and they believed it, and the moment they believed, they were placed in Christ. That's how they got in Christ. Well, I'm going to show you that here in a minute, but I'm getting sidetracked. Go to Ephesians 2 again, and now look at verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Now look at this. In Christ. In whom? In Christ. Remember? In Him. The choosing is in Him. In whom? In Christ. All the building, He likens the church here to a building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom? In Christ. You're also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So just like there was a plan and blueprint for this building and there was a purpose in mind, God said, I'm going to form an organism called the church, the body of Christ. Despite Israel's rejection, I'm going to form a new organism. And God said, I'm going to form this new building, this new structure, this new body called the church, the body of Christ. But just like it wasn't decided in the blueprints who was going to be in this building tonight or who was going to be in the building every Sunday for the last 18 years. God didn't decide back in eternity past what individual blocks of the building would be. He didn't say, okay, let's see, way back in eternity past, He said, Paul Peacock's going to be one of the blocks. And Ed Fields is going to be one of the blocks. Steve McComas is going to be one of the blocks. Shane and Dan, forget it. He's not going to be a block. So he can't get saved because he can't be a block. See, sorry, Shannon. Your mom's here now. I'm sorry, Sharon. All right. That's not the way it works. Okay, God wasn't back here before the foundation of the world saying, okay, this one's a block, this one's a block, they can't be a block, this one can't be a block. No, God set the structure, he had the plan, and he said, now, the ones I choose are going to have to be in him. They're going to have to be in Christ. And God decided that way back in eternity past. God's choosing was not a random choosing of certain individuals before the foundation of the world. God's choosing had to do with a corporate body, a corporate building called the body of Christ. God knew he would build it, and God knew how he would build it. He knew he would do it in Christ. God knew he was going to build the building. God knew how he was going to build the building through Jesus Christ and his finished work. God would choose to place in that building all those who are in Christ. But how do you get in Christ? Look at Ephesians 1. Isn't that neat how we're staying right in Ephesians? Look at Ephesians 1. Look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first, and what's the rest of that verse say? Trusted in Christ. Now look at the next verse. In whom, in Christ, you also trusted. How did they trust in Christ? After that you heard the word of truth. Remember, that matches Acts 13. They had to hear it. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that. So after you heard it, this is what happened in Acts 13. You heard it, after that you what? Believed, and then you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's how you get in Christ. You believe the truth of God's word. You believe on Jesus Christ. That's how you get in Christ. Nobody's in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's heresy. Because that would mean they were in Christ before the foundation of the world, but they fell out of Christ when they were born, because the Bible says in Adam all die. You know what I mean? We're all born. Nobody's born a Christian. Amen? You have to make that choice. So you got a theology now where you're in Christ back there before the foundation of the world, but you fall out of Christ when you're born, and then you get back in Christ later. That, you know what? That all sounds like a bunch of hocus pocus, doesn't it? I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. In Adam, all die. In Christ, we're made alive. So nobody's in Christ, you know, before the foundation. That's why he said you were strangers, you were foreigners, you were without hope, you were without God, you were without Christ. He told the Galatian believers, he said, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God. The Galatians, he said, they were not known of God until they got saved. Now that they're saved, he said, you're known of God. Nobody was known of God before the foundation of the world. You get known of God when you trust Christ and you're placed in Christ. The blueprint was all in the mind of God. The plan of a Gentile body placed in Christ, seated in the heavenlies, that was all a secret hidden in the mind and heart of God, but that would ultimately be offered to man. Go to Colossians. You're in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Just go forward a couple books. And This will definitely help us understand. It was in the mind, and the blueprint was in the heart of God, the mind of God. But then it's offered to anybody. Anybody can be a block in the building if they will but believe on Christ and receive the word of God. Look at Colossians 1 in verse number 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill or complete the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning, and what's the next phrase? Every man, and teaching what? every man in all wisdom. Paul, notice his goal, that we may present what? Every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You know what? Paul realized that God was no respecter of persons. He realized that the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. He concluded Israel in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. And God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Christ gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Paul was that due time testifier. And he said, I have an every man ministry. I have an every man mission that's been given to me by Jesus Christ. Every man can be in that building, can be in that body. So if you're a Gentile and you're living in Antioch of Pisidia, and Paul arrives on the scene with the message of Christ, how do you get in on God's eternal plan? How do you get in that body? How do you become a brick in that building that God's building? How do you dispose yourself to eternal life that God offers? Well, let's go back to Acts 13 and let's look at it. How do you get in on that plan? Acts 13, let's go back there. I hope you kept your bookmarker there. Acts 13, verse 48. And that is going to tell you how you get in on the plan, especially when you combine verse 46 with verse 48. It says, verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. You have to hear the word. Remember Ephesians 1? They trusted Christ after they heard the word of salvation, the word of the God. You got to hear the word. There is nobody here tonight in Christ that didn't have to hear the gospel. Somebody had to tell you. You had to hear it. You know, and hear it could mean read it. But that's still, you know, hearing it. You've got to hear it. And there is nobody here tonight that is in Christ that didn't hear it. And at some point, you glorified it. And because you magnified the Word of God in your heart and you were glad, you believed on Jesus Christ. There's not a one of us in here tonight that's in Christ that's not true of. These people heard the word. They gladly received it. Those who do that and glorify God's word, not reject it like the Jews did, they get in the group. They get in on the plan. By means of believing that message of Christ and placing their faith and trust in Christ. If we bring back up the chart again there. So, this is the plan. God knew the plan way back here. The way the people in Antioch of Pisidia got in on the plan, the way they got in on, God had the blueprint. He knew what He was going to do. But the way they individually became a brick in the plan of God, in the building of God, is they had to hear the word, receive it. When they glorified it, they believed the message of Jesus Christ. You know, think about this. Why this makes sense? Doesn't this make so much more sense when you take the whole of Scripture and you look at Paul? Here's this man who was so passionate about getting God's word out. He was so passionate that he said in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, he was begging them, I want you to pray. That the word of the Lord will have free course and that it will be glorified with those that we speak it to. Now, why in the world would Paul want people beseeching God and praying that the word of God would have free course and be glorified like it was here in Antioch? Because Paul knew that that was the only way for people to get in on God's plan. That's the only way to get in on the plan. Is that people had to hear it and glorify it. You don't get in the group there. You don't get in this group. You don't become a brick in the building by being sovereignly chosen before the foundation of the world and then some mysterious working of God inside of you. That's all man-made religious theology. It's hocus pocus. That verse, look at verse 48 again, and notice that the verse did not say, "And when the Gentiles heard this, only those believed who were sovereignly chosen by God before the foundation of the world." That's not what the verse says. The verse says the Gentiles heard it. They were glad. They glorified it. And as many as were ordained, disposed to eternal life. Well, why were they disposed? Because of their attitude towards God's word. And therefore, the logical thing is that they believed. They glorified it, magnified it, and therefore believed. So, you get eternal life. How? Hearing the word, gladly receiving the word of God. When you believe the message of God's word, when you believe it, you dispose yourself to eternal life, and then you get that eternal life the moment that you believe God's truth through Jesus Christ. You receive that eternal life. That's what the Bible teaches in Romans 10, right? God's willing to say, hey, y'all know the verse of Romans 10. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call. We got a bright group here, I tell you. Bunch of Bible scholars. That's why we have a Bible Institute, right? Yeah, you know, how many of you were shown that verse before you got saved? How many of you? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah, a bunch of people. I was shown that verse too. What does whosoever mean? Anybody. Can anybody get in on the plan? Anybody. Even us. That's right. Amen. So the Bible says, Romans 10, 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody can get in on the plan. The blueprint's been set as far as what God was going to do. He was going to offer grace. He was going to offer peace by Jesus Christ. Only those that are in Him. God decided before the foundation of the world, only those in my Son are the ones that are going to be adopted, are the ones that are going to be chosen, are the ones that are going to be given this exalted heavenly position, only those that are in Him. You know, I love it. One of the last verses of God's Word. Can I read this to you? Revelation 22:17. You don't need to turn. We're going to close this thing, and I think I'm just going to end with this. Listen to this. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Is that not precious? Now, I realize, you know, dispensationally that's dealing with a future time period, but you see the heart of God in that verse, don't you? That matches the heart that Paul said God had for this dispensation. You see, God's heart, whosoever will, come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Don't ever get puffed up and arrogant in your own conceit and think in your heart that you're here tonight because you were chosen by God. Other people were chosen to be damned, but I was chosen by God. Don't ever think that, folks. Every single one of us in here was far off, the Bible says. And the only reason we've been made nigh to God is by the blood of Jesus Christ. People say, well, you know, but if God didn't ordain it back here, and if God didn't just sovereignly elect you, then that means it's some work on your part, that it's works is why you're saved. Is it? believing is not a work. I mean, if I say to Rich, Rich, I want to give you this pointer as a gift, and I go to give it to him, and I say, wait a minute, you got to come wash and wax my car first. Is that a gift? No. But if I say, Rich, I want to give you this pointer as a gift for you to be able to use, and then I reach out to him, he reaches out, he believes what I told him, he believes it enough to just reach out and take it. Is he working for that? No. How stupid is that? To say that just taking a gift is working. You know, just to believe what I said and reach out and take it isn't working for it. Believing is not a work. I got a verse to prove it. Romans 4:5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. To him that worketh not, but believeth. Are y'all with me? Believing's not a work, according to the Bible. Believing's not a work. Faith's not a work. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him, on Christ, that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Well, I got so much more I want to say about this. Somebody may say this. Okay, I agree with you that people receive eternal life, and they receive it by, they have to believe on Christ. They got to hear it. They got to believe it. All right, I agree with you on that. But then they'll say, why do some people believe His Word? And then why do some people reject it? And they'll say, well, you know, and then the idea is their response was already predetermined before the foundation of the world. So we're going to deal with that next week, okay? Why do some people believe the Word and some people don't? What does the Bible teach as the reason? I think, by the way, don't we always need to be concerned with what the Bible says? Not theology, but what the Bible says. You know, not a doctrinal system, but what does the Bible say? See, why do people reject and not believe? And then why do some do? Some do believe. Well, we'll look at that, okay? So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer right now.